Mr. Thompson.
Eat.
The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1. Well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics.
Patriots and socialist distancers, it is time for your weekly dose of Red Pill Politics. I am your opinionated and abrasive host, Dave Runs with Scissors Kopasz, and I sure am mighty honored to be spending Saturday night with all y'all. As always, if you would like to check out the show and other great programs, you need to head on over to republicbroadcasting.org, check out the calendar, all the other programmers, things going on, share the links, download and share the MP3s, embed them, do whatever you got to do to get the word out, and most definitely you're going to want to hit the donation button because we're all listener-funded here at Republic Broadcasting Network. We do not take scripts and marching orders from anybody. The programmers get to talk about whatever they need to talk about, okay? And that's got some value. So give if you can. And as always, I throw out a live stream of the show over to my Rumble channel. So you can not only listen to the show in the one-click player at republicbroadcasting.org, but you can go over and look up Red Pill Politics on Rumble, and you can jump in and participate in the new stream that we're sending out over there. So every Saturday, you can share links and ideas and questions that way, too. As always, you can call in. The call-in number is 512-248-8252. We are going to be taking some call-ins this week again. And I would like to give a shout-out, because I know over the time that I've been broadcasting, there's times where things are pretty quiet. I get going off on something and people kind of sit there and just listen and the phone lines are quiet. Other times, all of a sudden, they'll stack up. But I'm going to try to do better to get through all of the callers that call in. But every once in a while, I leave some folks hanging. And I don't want to leave anyone out. So I'm going to try to do better and squeeze things together, make sure the callers get the questions out. And, you know, if there's a discussion, a little debate to be had, that's the reason for the call-ins. But I'm going to try to hustle them through and make sure we get everybody in. Last week, Alan from Texas and Scott from Nevada, we left them guys at the end. And I want to let them know, you want to call in, we'll bump you right up to the front. So we can make up for that and try and make sure we get your questions and your time in. But do call in, all right? Even you people, especially those that have not called in before. You're a little shy, a little bashful, not sure. You got some thoughts, but you're just, don't be bashful. You got to get over that. You got to get out of your comfort zone. You know, and that's another one I'll give precedent to. If you're a first-time caller, I want you to let them know at the switchboard because I want to get you up there and hear what you have to say, too. I love my my stalwarts and those that call in and contribute on a regular basis. Don't get me wrong. Love that stuff. And that's all great input. But I want to encourage those, even if your voice shakes. This is what I used to tell people. I said, speak even if your voice shakes, even if you're nervous. You now more than ever, you've got to stand up. And I'm telling you, there for every one person that does that, there's 1,000 others looking, thinking the same thing. And you're giving them the strength to do the same thing. So please speak while you can. I'm going to probably be talking about a lot of opportunities here tonight, things that you should be speaking up about, timing. And I want to really drive this home for folks. When opportunity knocks, you know, we really need to take advantage. And I mean that in the most systemic and general sense, just in success in life. You know, don't pass up opportunities. Be ready to pounce on them. If you're seeking to improve your life, your quality of life, the stability of your family, to grow a business or whatever, you know, it's those opportunities that you just never thought to be this, you know, if you're in a landscaping business and an opportunity to get a piece of equipment that, you know, would really, really help you out. You know, every now and again, these sweet deals happen. And if you hem and haw too much, or if you say, you know, you pass it up, if you're not wise and you don't invest in yourself. And that's the thing, it's about investing in yourself. People with low confidence don't invest in themselves. So you've got a wet blanket of propaganda that's been laid upon you, not just in the last 2 years, in the last 2 decades. I mean, look at all the stuff that they've had on television, even the show Cops. I mean, it really just showed your average, you know, Americans in the worst neighborhoods in their cities and put them on display. You know, people watched it and consumed that entertainment thinking, oh, boy, oh, I'm not that bad. I'm glad I'm not him. You know, but that just, you know, it became us. It oozed into who we think we are as a society, as a culture, that we're no better than that. We are better than those things. Those are the predictable outcomes of bad policies is what those are. Oh, you're going to have confidence and know, and I'm going to try to bring some things to your attention tonight. And if you're not already seeing them out there, man, you're not paying attention, all right? Because the Democrat Party, the apparatus, the establishment, the deep staters, and the midway on the food chain ass kissers, the party people, they are in full-blown damage control mode. There is a free fall of support that is, I mean, traditional support isn't there. They're not able to garner the donations and the canvassing. And I mean, they really only have deviant tactics right now. You know, these fake attacks on campaign offices and stealing of signs, you know, that's already and was predictably being reported already. A few radicals can go out through a town or a city and steal a bunch of signs to make it seem like the opponent's non-existent. And that's about all they can do. Their support, yeah, they can't show their faces anywhere. AOC, Omar, all of them. When they go out in public now, they're getting lambasted, and not just by the, you know, the political right. They're getting hammered by their own party members, and this is precisely what I've been hoping would eventually happen. I've been pleading with people. Is disgusting as the party has become. Please acknowledge the fact that there are classic, old-time, run-of-the-mill liberals, because I use the word liberal different than a lot of people nowadays, people that are really excited and hopped up and just really pissed off. They clump everyone together under the banner of liberal. And I don't, because actually, liberal used to mean kind of what conservative is today, almost. It really did. It meant something very entirely different. Now, progressives, once they progressivized the Democrats and what it meant to be liberal, an extension of liberal. Okay, progressives is to liberals what the TQ, you know, the trans community, the gender stuff is to LGB. All right, the LGB community, all right, they at least know whether they're a boy or a girl. And this gender agenda is just part of one of the tentacles of cultural Marxism to distort and pollute the mind of young people and to start tearing apart the family and potential future families. Right, we're seeing a horrible division. We've been divided in many ways, but there's some kind of awakening, and you know, I hate to use that word that much because you got the wokeness and you got, you know, people have been talking about being awake and wake up and, you know, it's a new world order and all that stuff. So, you know, but I mean that in the original sense of the word. Is something weird is happening. You know, we tried to plan and execute and actually make this happen, or at least a lot of the groups that I was with, is, you know, how do we unify ourselves without losing our moral focus, what we stand for morally? Because that's what the two parties have done. They've used our morals as political bargaining chips to position themselves in their political careers rather than represent their constituents. So that's all kind of changed. But, you know, how, you know, we struggled to unify. How do we unify patriots together to fight for our country and the Constitution? And, you know, it was always a struggle, and no one really had the solution. The establishment kept creating the divide deeper and deeper. They were always successful. They're still successful, you know, in the sense that, you know, they're deviantly brilliant. I've said that before, where they've got a minority of little extremists that is put under the prostitute magnifying glass and made to appear as if they're much larger than they are. Okay, and young people and children. I mean, you can, you know, take a young child and convince them the moon is made of cheese. It doesn't mean, because they run into mommy's room and put on her high heels and run around giggling, meaning that, you know, little Billy wants to be a girl. Right? We've lost focus. And we're about to lose everything. Well, we were like a toddler looking at a parent dangling some car keys, some shiny things. We lost sight of the fact we're supposed to be guarding our liberties. We were supposed to be a melting pot. There are rules for naturalization, not immigration. That word is not mentioned in the Constitution. Federal government is supposed to put out a set of rules that are fair to naturalize people into this country. We are a melting pot. You're welcome. But there are extreme basics, like being able to speak the language. That's not being racist. It's for a very tangible national security reason. And the sheer number of them that come in, the reason our borders aren't just wide open. You know, if you can walk here, fly here, bus here, out, you know, if you can get here and surge over the border, you're here. All right, ta-da. The reason they don't do that is you would economically implode. You would bankrupt the country. All of those freedoms and liberties that you espouse to want to enjoy and participate in protecting and assimilate with will literally crumble before you and will become worse than whatever places you left. And I care not where it is. It will be worse here. the unrest will be here. So there's rules, there's laws for naturalization. It isn't like there's not a solution to this. We can stop listening to politicians and say, oh, we got to work on this immigration problem. You know, I tell you what, before you start working on new solutions, and this is very common, in fact, it's probably more the norm, is that they try to propose a stinking solution to something where they haven't even actually enforced and adhered to the existing laws and regulations. You know, I can point to the laws of naturalization right in the Constitution that the federal government is responsible for. They're on the books. And what I would like to know before any one of those educated idiots proposes another single letter of legislation is I want to see how that performs. I want it enforced to the letter so we have something measurable by which to decide whether we need to, I mean, are we trying to fix something that's not broken? I think it's entirely possible that be the case. But we're not supposed to talk about that. We're supposed to leave our borders open. We're finding out that building a wall, although that was kind of cool, you know, what a really cool big wall you got there. But when you have a government so tyrannical and so brazen, is to just simply fly them right over the top. All right, they're stuffing airplanes full of illegals. To me, they're collaborating in a treasonous activity and in assisting them in surging over the borders. You know, Title 8, Section 1324, I think it was. Some article I read from Edwin Vieira Jr. I have to look that up on the break, see if I can find it. So, yeah, they're actually engaged in treasonous activities on both sides of the border. They're dispatching, I'm sure, with tax dollars, planefuls flying right over your fancy big bad wall. I mean, your problem is bigger than a physical barrier on our southern border. And I'm kind of, you know, in a sense, opposed to that wall. Right, for economic reasons more than anything, the people that have property bordering and close to those borders like that oftentimes depend on migration of animals. Right? Many animals for hunting migrate back and forth. Okay? And to put a wall up like that, there needs to be consideration for things like that to take place. All right, looks like we got some calls coming in. As promised, I'm going to try to keep up with them here tonight, but we got, looks like a minute or two to a break, but we're going to get started nonetheless. Pat from Texas, how are you tonight, Pat? We got Pat on. Pat, did you mute yourself?
Ask you because you are an environmentalist, right? That's your expertise.
I hear you now, Pat. I'm sorry. We didn't catch the first part of what you said there. How are you this evening?
Well, my Moto phone started acting up, and so I told it I didn't need it anymore. Bye-bye, baby. And it straightened up.
hey, Pat, you stay right where you're at. We got a commercial coming up here in just a minute. This is Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. You stay with us, and we'll be right back. Kept telling you
past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN.
To offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Inside me, son of a god. I'm like a titan that's rising. Oh, just you watch. I'm stepping into fate. There is no time to waste. I've got that lightning inside me. This is how legends are made.
All leaves are in high color, peak color out here in the Northeast. Probably lost quite a few up north a little bit more as you get up into New Hampshire and upper Vermont and Maine. Had some rain and stuff up there, so stripped down some of the leaves. But there's still a few hanging around. Looks very nice. There's a chill in the air that got to tell you that winter is right around the corner. We got dark skies ahead. All right, that's my feeling metaphorically. We got Pat on the line from Texas. What do you think, Pat? How are things buzzing down there in Texas there for the midterm? What are things like in Texas?
You don't know. I mean, people complain about a 40-degree drop in temperature. We get 60 sometimes. If you're
yeah,
near the
water,
it's
hard to feel bad for you Texas folks and you Florida folks, because you do have a rather mild winter down there, I'll have to say.
Well, if you're near a big body of water, well, not the Great Lakes, I take that back, but if you're near the ocean, see, the water doesn't change, and so it keeps your temperature similar, the change.
Yep.
You know, it may not... it may take your orange tree a long time to get down past the salty roots and make oranges. But, you know, the truth is I've lived on most water, and I know the difference than this here desert stuff right here. But what I really wanted to talk about is, do you believe, being a Christian and the Bible saying that he who seeks to save his life will lose it, or my say, will he who had it right here, he who seeks to save his life will lose it, unless, you know, if you're trying to hold on to it. If you're working for the Lord, you'll hold on to it, for my sake.
Yeah. If you do that in a greedy, selfish sense, absolutely, because we're supposed to go through lives emulating those values. All right.
And
this is the thing about Christians many times is people think they got to be preachy. You know, they got to really, you know, almost literally beat you over the head with the Bible. And it's not really like that at all. It's really a lifestyle. And, you know, if you believe and you act in that manner, you lead through example, and you don't necessarily have to be quoting chapter and verse in every discussion that you have to be, putting out positive energy and emulating that value set.
What people are going through right now is, if they took the shot, they never know when their last breath is going to be. It's not like, why plan a future, you know? I mean, I took the shot. You know, it's crazy things right now.
But that's true to anybody on the best of days, is we really aren't guaranteed tomorrow, are we?
No.
I mean, I think I know what you're saying, though, is these people that are having vaccine remorse, they got the jab, and are now coming to find out that they were lied to, and this information that they're learning is kind of scary. It's a big pill to swallow. I know a couple of people right now that are very, very uncomfortable with the fact that they had that vaccine, and it makes feel mortal. All of a sudden, something really, really bad could happen to them or a loved one.
Yeah,
makes life a little more precious.
Not only the people that took it, the people they know that have died suddenly, and they're mourning that. So it's like a feeling of hopelessness, you know. But it's bad nowadays. But I still say, you know, if people would learn the Bible, and it's hard to say memorize it, but, you know, the words will come up that'll help you, especially if you're around other Christians. See, that's why they tried to shut the churches down.
You know, I'm going to share an observation with you. Over time, I'm talking about over, you know, years of meeting a lot of different people of different faiths and different levels within those faiths. And I've seen quite a few Christians touting themselves and kind of riding the high horse. And then by observation, I see others who are self-declared atheists that, you know, by way of comparison to Christian values and what is taught in the Bible, are acting more Christian than those pretending to be Christians. We'll get your comment on that right on the other side of this break. This is Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to Republic Podcasting Network. We'll see you in just a few moments.
You had tears in your eyes. You loved a man that kept telling you lies. It was hard to do, but it came down to you.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
To all y'all, this is Red Pill Politics. For those of you just tuning in, you can head over to republicbroadcasting.org. They got a one-click player over there. Lots of other programmers to fill up an entire programming week for you to choose. Do share the links and the information. Hit the donation link on your way out. You can always head over to redpillpolitics.tv for some other snarky things that don't make it every Saturday on the show here. All right, every Saturday, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, right here at republicbroadcasting.org. We got Pat from Texas on the phone with some final comments here. What do you think, Pat? We got some pretty contentious times. People, I do believe, even if government began to reject lying, cheating, and stealing. What a huge improvement that would be in itself. But I agree, people were more connected. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak on behalf of those who, in my estimation, are good people at heart, have rejected formal religion, but I think they're confusing corporate churches who have been monumental failures. They've lost their way and are actually afraid and shy away from preaching the Bible. You know, they've had bad experiences there, and I get it. And that's not the problem. I mean, that is a problem if that's how you limit yourself, is having to go into one of those buildings and one of those 501c3 churches rather than seek out the one that's right for you, because they are
People don't know that Trump threw the Johnson Act out. It is legal to talk politics in church anymore, because politics is what's in the Bible. Abortion, homosexual, all that is in the Bible. And so by the devil, by saying you can't talk politics, that takes out the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, absolutely right.
But that's thrown out.
The term, so the separation of church and state, actually lives in the Constitution, and it doesn't.
No, it's not in the Constitution. It was in the letters written by Jefferson. There's a book called, forgot the name, God and America. I don't know. I get so nervous when I get on the radio. I can't remember my name. What's my name?
Come on.
I had it looked up on eBay, so every time I turn on eBay, there comes all those books, and they're practically free, some of them, if you want to, you know. And it's 400 pages of proof that our founding fathers were definitely Christians, quotations and everything. America's God and country, that's what it's called. But Federer, F-E-D-D-E-R-R, not the other one up there running for whatever, senator, against Dr. Oz. That's F-E-T-T. But William J. Federer, F-E-D-D-E-R-R, something like that, or one R, he has written several books. One of them his wife wrote based on his own book. The information is out there. But people have been told something, they believe it, and that's it. And what are you going to do? I mean, but when I ask you about being an environmentalist, do you really think that HAARP runs the world? I don't. I do not. I mean,
what was wrong?
HAARP, angels don't play HAARP. The HAARP.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I understood you correctly. You know, the HAARP is like so many other things in science, is it gets bastardized and taken over by government and weaponized. And that may very well have been the case up there. Nikolai Tesla, it was, proof, living proof, that there was lots of great things yet to be discovered in the world of electromagnetism and what it can do and what it is.
Right.
So for them to be studying things like that and then having the government get a hold of it when they realize the power in it, it doesn't surprise me. So, you know, it's a good and bad thing, but there's an ethical boundary where, you know, a good, healthy democracy, and democracy requires to be completely informed, you know, a fully informed public to make decisions. So things like this.
Well, I don't know. I thought democracy was just voting, but republic form of government is different, because I used to watch.
Democracy is a tool. We are a republic.
Let me finish the sentence. I used to watch Gorbachev, and he would put in several ballots and stick them in a box, you know. And Raisa, she just put in one. What? Women don't get to vote on as many things in Russia? How does this work? You could say you have democracy, you vote. But is it one man, one vote? Is it whatever? You know, it's a lot of things to the words. And we just assume one word covers all things.
Right. What I'm saying is that these things where science is starting to push ethical boundaries, like cloning, messing with the atmosphere, virus thing, these things need to be openly debated. The public's got to say yes or no. You know, if the people of the world, in a democratic way, have decided that they do not want weaponized virus research going on, they should be able to instruct their public servants to make absolutely sure that does not happen. And we certainly
evil
should.
Is evil. You can't instruct anybody.
Evil is evil. I'm just saying, in a perfect world, if democracy, the tool, is working for our republic, when it gets to things like HARP, where that has the ability to who knows what. They really didn't know what that thing could possibly do. They said it could crack the earth in half. So, you know, that's worthy of a public debate for us to decide whether we should progress in that area. Pat, I hate to cut you short, but I got two callers lined up.
Yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and start something.
Call in next week.
When I called in. All right. Thanks, Dave. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night, Pat. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I definitely think there's things like this that are just simply worthy of the bright light of day. Public debate. People need to know that, you know, research into genetic engineering. You know, how prevalent is that? Their plans, and what are they going to do with it in terms of medicine, our food? We're finding out we're not even being given the choice. It looks like they're going to put this stuff in our food and our water absent our consent. Okay, that is the direction they're going. And this is because we haven't forced many of these things right up on the table for public debate. Let's jump to our next caller here. Bruce from Montana. Thanks for calling in tonight, Bruce. How are you? We got Bruce.
Hello.
Here. Yes, how are you tonight?
Yeah, here I am.
I hear
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
There's so much that we're all going to have to learn together. I would suggest that maybe the Bible is quite mistaken. I would suggest that maybe people have been led astray their entire lives. We all have to a degree, and we know it, don't we?
Oh, I think all of us at some point in time have been misled by those around us.
Yeah. So we shouldn't be too terribly surprised when certain truth comes out and really shocks the world. Like this whole alien thing, there's more to it than the powers that should not be would present to us.
It would not surprise me one bit that they would again try to suppress and capitalize on advanced opportunities with any technologies that come from that in controlling the public's awareness in any official capacity, because that would change the cultures and societies and religions around the world. I mean,
indeed it would.
It would have a global resonation, and who knows what would happen and how people would react.
Yeah. There's a gentleman that I pay great attention to. His name is Cliff High. I've been listening to this man for over 20 years, and he's so brilliant that most people can't wrap their heads around what he's saying without laughing. But I manage to. He's telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Truth should be what we're all in pursuit of, for certain. And what he's saying is the truth, according to him.
Well, the truth, according to Cliff. Most people can't wrap their minds around it without dismissing him as a kook. But he's been talking about the origins of the Bible for quite a long time. He says that the Bible is an account of the people who lived for several thousand years prior to us. He says,
are you there? Did we lose you? Do we lose the caller? Yeah, I hear you now. You dropped off there for a second, but I think you're still there. Go ahead.
I think you got a new caller now. I think the other guy dropped.
Oh, did he? Is this all right? So this Dave from New York?
Yeah, how are you doing? How are you doing?
Okay. All right, good. Okay, we lost Bruce. If he pops back in, let me know from the switchboard there. But go ahead, Dave. How are you tonight?
Yeah, I remember a show you did a while ago, about some constitutional guys, some association. I thought that was, like, the most stunning show, and, I mean, as a potential avenue to go down, as, like, there's a million rabbit holes, but I didn't think that was a rabbit hole that was a dead end. And, it's a type of thing that's activism, but sometimes these things come up and then there isn't really much follow through. And I don't know how many people got on board, if anybody did, with it. But
was that Rick Martin? Rick Martin from the Constitutional Law Group, maybe?
That's what it sounds like. That sounds pretty right. And I mentioned it to John Moore, and then he said, "Oh, I know you." You know, he knows you pretty well, I guess. And
yeah,
I know you called into his show recently. I heard you, so that was interesting. But
yeah.
I think what I've been seeing is that the sheep are scattered, and this is what I mean, is that there are so many rabbit holes produced in addition to the things, the little areas that people are into themselves, like communitarianism or whatever, you know, and I never could understand the use of communitarianism and this idea or how you're going to fight it. It just was kind of like trying to fight the quote, the Jews, you know, but regardless, what is being created are all of these rabbit holes for people to go down to draw them away from the truth, to draw them away from being effective. And, I saw that. I mean, this occurs at every level with any open communication. So you say free speech is a great thing. Well, free speech in the Internet can be used in very bad ways.
And certainly, I put a lot of responsibility on the individual here, too, is, you know, the ultimate guardian is us. We're supposed to exercise discernment. All right, that's a good word, discernment. There is a lot of things out there. We need free speech because I don't want the nutcases out there to be hidden and shrouded behind censorship. I want them to actually take the stage.
Oh, I'm not saying
us.
That. I'm not even dealing with that issue. I mean, God deals with that issue. He gave everybody free will enough to do things and to speak. But when there were some folks in the Old Testament, they blasphemed God, the sons of Korah, I think it was. And he opened up the earth and it swallowed them up. So God doesn't believe in free speech all the time. Sometimes he says enough. You know, but that's a very rare case. And that's why, you know, the tares and the wheat are growing up together, and we need to have discernment. We need to merely ask a question. I mean, when I first started listening to alt media, it's like all these guys coming up and saying all these crazy things, and it's like, but then eventually you ask yourself, now what's the basis? Have they proved that they incorporated these governments and all these, you know, where is the proof? They're making all these claims with no references, with no proof. And that is a big red flag when we hear them say that and we don't ask the question. We ask the question, then they need to respond and give us the evidence that proves what they're saying is right. And like, if you have Roger Sales and you say, listen, Roger, you know, how can you say all this stuff about the government and the law is doing this? And he's there, here it is, this title, this, this, and this. He comes right out, and he knows exactly the area he's dealing with. And he's doing a good job as an activist.
But well, to compare two things, you know, you mentioned the rabbit holes, and in here, you just referenced people that kind of recoil. They say, oh, I can't believe all these things these people are saying. It's information overload. It's kind of the opposite of a rabbit hole. I kind of look at a rabbit hole a different way. Is, you know, you can go down that rabbit hole and find out that it's actually interconnected under the ground with a whole bunch of other rabbit holes. So when, and this is a pattern for me, this is just something I adopted, you know, years ago, is I struggled as an activist to wake people up. As I first went out there, when I realized what systemic fraud lived around me, the Federal Reserve and everything, that I went out and I tried to take what was in my head, cram it in someone else's in just a few moments, and I came off looking like a crackpot. All right, I was right in most of those things, but I look crazy. It's information overload. So when you allow people, and this is where I use discernment, you know, I'll talk to someone sometimes a couple of times and get a sense of who they are and what their hot button issues are, and then I'll nudge them down a particular rabbit hole that is of a passion to them, something that hit home, close to home, or is a passion, and dump a truth bomb on them. And just let it go, because I found that they will, on their own, organically, if they found that corruption, they're going to bump into other things that they don't even need me to nudge them. They're going to find it on their own. And that, to me, has been, I think, the most fruitful, if we're going to talk about, you know, the benefits of your time versus how many people have you been able to persuade. That seems to be the most fruitful.
Yeah, I think I've been more successful with people off RBN than people on RBN, talking to them in general, and for some reason. But even, I mean, these people off RBN are like, you know, people you run into. This week I ran into two people, and they're well enough to do. They were like second to the CEO in both of their companies, a husband and wife. And I get on the vaccine a little talk, and they say, hey, well, we're in some Moderna trial, and we did this trial. And I'm like, oh, really? And then I said, well, you know, there's all this damage from these vaccines and stuff. And they said, well, I don't know anyone who's been damaged. And I said, well, right in the VAERS system, there's 30,000 now. About a year ago, there were 30,000 deaths. And they're pulling people out. They're pulling out records. It's demonstrated, you know. But, you know, just feeding them this little thing. And then the lady says, well, I've never heard of that. But she didn't reject it fully. She's thinking, these are intelligent people. And then I said, well, listen, you have to look at the pluses and minuses. You know, and this is where they get it, because they believe that the pluses of it are so great. And now all I need to do is, when we agree on that, looking at the pluses and minuses, to go to the data, to go to some of these things, like the life insurance claims. 40%, you know, working people in the third quarter last year, 40% increase in claims. All this kind of
real information that they could deal with. But some people are so closed-minded, and they say, oh, well, they must be a vaccine denier, you know, or something like that. And those kind of people, you know that their mind is as small as a bird, and they can't think. They just react.
You know, I used to go back and forth with my own brother-in-law. And what was it? Oh, when that Dr. Charles Lieber from Harvard, we get going back and forth on the vaccine.
I heard him speak before in a chemistry lecture,
Oh, did you? Once. I guess both him and his father were brilliant people, but he went to the dark side, I guess. but,
I
you know,
very much so.
I gave him that guy's name and information. And, you know, he didn't believe me, didn't want to believe me, and I gave him the exact name and spelling and said, you know, just look it up for yourself if you don't believe me. Three times I did that, and he still didn't. So there is a very real denial and fear that lives within vaccinated people right now. That, you know, they,
there's been a denial in people all along. You try talking to them about 9/11. Some of them are dense as a box of rocks. Building 7, come on.
I mean, it's scary. When people have to, they're going to have to admit they're wrong. But moreover, if there
they were
is...
fooled.
they have to admit that there's a chance that, you know, they could have a serious ailment. Maybe not. I pray to God that, that you know, no one gets sick from this. But that just doesn't seem to be the case. As you know, the raw numbers that come from them say otherwise. I mean, every week something comes out that says that they lied to us.
So much is coming out now. It's rather amazing. But I wanted to say further that... there was one issue when the ivermectin was shown to be workable by Pierre Corey, and this was very clearly demonstrated. It came out, and this was in about September of 2020. A fellow contacted somebody from RBN, and told him about it. He said, listen, this is the magic thing. This will solve this, and we won't need the vaccine or anything like this. And the guy was so deadpan, flat response, couldn't make any money on it. He wouldn't even mention it. Well, he did mention it, but his heart was not in it. You know what I'm saying? There was no activism there. And so the guy was rather discouraged. He told me about it, and I said, okay, I'll call a bunch of hosts and tell them. So I called a bunch of hosts and told them. But still, we didn't get any activism going. I mean, we have a whole network here. This was the golden egg opportunity to put that out there. The only problem is, it was hard to get. And now what I am understanding is that they're suppressing this ivermectin.
It was in 2020 and 2021, because it came through our house twice. But the first time, luckily, we were prepared. We had to get it
from outside.
COVID. The first time, my wife got it. She actually thought she had a UTI for a day and wasn't really feeling herself. And then she got up one morning and came down. She says, I feel like I've been run over by a truck. And I went, oh, no. And I got her on it right away. I went on a prophylactic dose. And she was better in like 4 days. She was out of bed and feeling much better. And I never got sick. The second time, we both got it, but we went on the medication right away.
Right. But do you understand what was being said here? And what was said to me was, Dave, this is the solution. This negates the necessity for the vaccine. And that's what our opportunity was in 2020, to distribute this information and then to force the government legally. And people have forced and forced.
So we got a top of the hour break. Dave, stay with us, and we'll wrap up on the other side. It's Red Pill Politics, and you are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back in just a moment at the top of the hour.
We'll be right back. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.